Signed, Dr. Reed. Professor Denton, in his happiest mood, spoke to us substantially as follows, to wit, 565. We have often said that it is better for people, while on earth, to become as familiar as possible with this great philosophy and make it practical, to better fit them for a higher plane. They need to especially develop their spirituality, which is accomplished by doing good among the people along the line of the Golden Rule. I see so much misdirected life on earth, and so much misery there, and continually coming to spirit life, that I am led to make inquiry into conditions so resulting, and I see some places where people are in hell, not in the bowels of the earth, but on the earth plane, and these arrive here still in torment, still in hell, but they develop, step by step, to their plane, and the band of spirits that are around them, and working for them, are so delighted at their reform. And what you call education is not necessarily spiritual. Those lowering their conditions, not places, but conditions, are elevated by following teachings of those from higher spheres or of more advanced spirits. But if you do not choose to heed our advice, we have done our duty toward you, so far as we are able, and the consequences be with you and upon your own heads. 566. But people of earth, at best, have their likes and dislikes until they reach the higher spheres. In passing through the conditions of the lower spheres, the earth conditions and effects thereof are eliminated, but by living as near to a spiritual life as possible during the earthly pilgrimage, one may reach our side of life much prepared to affiliate with spirits who are sufficiently advanced out of earthly conditions to realize the brotherhood of man, and this ought to be a great comfort indeed. When the old tenement is being laid away, one who did well can say to that old body, "You served me well and long, henceforth I have no need of you, you and I have separate duties, you go on assisting other tenements, goodbye forever, and I must be going the road of my high calling." And as this one turns to the voices of his guiding messengers, how glad this fortunate one must be in realizing a recognition of a faithful earthly journey, henceforth to mount with the happy guiding messengers as on eagle's wings. Oh, the sweet voices of those messengers! 567. But friends, if you could see the misguided one struggling up, if you could for one moment realize the long dark night so many of the lowly ones have to pass through, what a lesson it would be to you. Not because you are a church member, or whatever or what not, or even a spiritualist, no difference about that, there is just one essential, that is, that you must be spiritual, as we have ever told you. And again, let me tell you, that when you cross to this side, I hope you will have so lived and conducted your earth lives, that I will be glad to meet you here and pass you on to higher, grander, more glorious conditions. 568. We might call the attention of the reader to the fact that the foregoing writing and speaking were in line with the discussion of the circle as mentioned at beginning of this report, thus showing that prearrangement by mortals, of the matter given, is not to be considered as probable, and this feature so often occurs, as the reader may have noted, that it must shake up any prearrangement theory that the reader may have entertained, especially when taken in connection with other features of the proceedings. 569. For the benefit of some visitors who were about to leave for their distant homes, the séance, at this point, was turned into a séance of illuminated form display, and that to a degree of success we seldom have had surpassed. But every manner, every style of form, every size and every kind of costume, have been so frequently described heretofore, that it would seem superfluous to write a description here. In fact, no pen, pencil, cold type, or lithograph, can at all portray the glory of these illuminated form displays to one who never witnessed them, or similar phenomena. 570. For instance, there came forth from the cabinet a form having the appearance of a man of powerful build, tremendous muscular development, apparently of the weight of about 225 pounds, of the height of very nearly or quite 6 feet, clothed in close-fitting men's attire, all of white cloth, without coat or vest, with a waist belt and fringed hip girdle, as sometimes acrobats, prizefighters, and as we read, the fashionable Roman gladiator wore in the arena, and as some actors upon the stage are clad. 571. Then, again, we might try to portray the appearance of a lady spirit that came from the cabinet as a Pongee weaver, but that is as well depicted in Beyond the Veil as we are able, or if we should try to describe the Terpsichorean spirit, clad in the gaudy attire required upon a fashion stage, or ballroom, bedecked with glittering jewels, we would fail to portray the reality as presented this evening. 572. A materialization said that, within the next 20 years, the church will greatly surrender to spiritualism. 573. Thomas Paine in very eloquent manner said, in substance, I am glad to be present here this evening, but it seems for me appointed to say to you that, in looking at your country, we find it in very bad condition today. The people do not see the danger, but the time comes when you take your guns and face your enemies. However, it is grand to know of the grand phenomena that we are able to produce through our grand little medium in there. If you would only give us conditions, you would soon see something we can do beyond what you have ever seen, and we may find some who may be able to furnish conditions, and if we should succeed in getting the elements together, and unmixed, we may give greater things. Seance number 34, October 23, 1902, 574. Visitors, Mrs. Lamb, Mrs. Miller, Mrs. Dixon and William Spear. After opening exercises, Denton stood out before the circle, in the condition of visibility, and said, I am indeed glad so many are here this evening. We complain, but it is from the physical side, although we have our difficulties, not exactly in the same way, but requiring much effort to overcome, and if you could see our difficulties, and the necessary efforts on our part to surmount them, you could better appreciate our efforts. You think you have difficulties, but you have only to realize ours to become cognizant of the fact that in our sphere we have greater. We have opposition to meet and overcome, which is very trying to some spirits. While I do not care, some spirits do care. Some people ask why certain ones don't come? Why, it is that way on your side. Some things do not occur there in regular order, as they should, as you expect them to be. Why is this? Simply because it was not that way. It was not to be that way. It was to be just the way it was. A. Many spirits there are who do not desire to engage in this work of permanently establishing an open door between the physical and spiritual conditions, just as there are many people on earth who do not so desire. While we who have undertaken this work have done much, how very much more could have been done had there been more favorable cooperation, but in this, as in other cases, what occurs is until the next thing occurs, then that is. And each occurrence may modify the unobstructed effects of some, or many, prior occurrences, so things are as they are because they are this way. Human interest at typewriting dictated by one claiming the name of Inver. 575. Friends, there are various kinds of interests in the world, but human interest is the only enduring interest. No doubt the interest upon a mortgage may assume alarming proportions, but you know that it will end at the grave, but human interest goes beyond the grave, and embraces all that is joyous and all that is sad in the lives of others. 576. I am sure no one who has not had the experience can know how much it means to a boy who has left his home and gone forth to do battle in the business world, to know that, not only his relatives, but his friends in his hometown, are taking an interest in his welfare, and he should be doubly thankful if he has the assurance that his friends, who have crossed the great divide, are also interested. How many men or women thus equipped, do you think, would go down in the maelstroms of vice in the crowded cities? If happiness is contagious, as some claim, why is not sorrow also? There may be great truth in the sorrows of others casting their shadows over you. I am positive that the good wishes of friends are far more outreaching than many will be able to realize, while they are still upon earth. And I am equally certain that troubles and heartaches are often experienced by others, and as a general thing, they do not realize where the feeling of sadness, that seems to bow them down, comes from. 577. Very few are philosophical enough to reason that something for their advancement, financially, physically or spiritually, lies beyond their sorrows. So we see that sorrows are really golden and purify the souls of the people of earth, better fitting them for more spiritual lives upon earth and in the spirit spheres, for the lights and shadows of earth life are all that make it bearable. Those who have experienced some great sorrow are better fitted to enjoy great happiness. 578. How sad it is to see a mother grieving for a son who has passed out of the earth life into an unknown country. Her grief is pitiful to behold, and your heart goes out to her in her sorrow. But far more pitiful than this if the daughter has passed from her tender watchful care and is treading the path that leads to lower conditions, morally and spiritually. In this hour of deepest trouble, does your sympathy go out to her as it should? I am afraid it does not. How much better, even if the mother knows naught of the other world, it would be to place the body of her darling in the bosom of Mother Earth. She would at least feel that her child was beyond the trials of earth. 579. It was the human interest that he felt for others that made Jesus search the highways and byways for those in need of help. A. If you only feel an interest in yourself, you become selfish, and one who is selfish can never advance spiritually. You could not, if you would, bear the burdens of others, neither would it be just for you to do so, but you can, if you will, smooth the path they must tread, and by helpful sympathy, lighten the road. 580. Man cannot live without companionship, for any length of time, and retain his reason. You are dependent upon each other, no matter how often you may declare that you can live alone. If you isolate men, deprive them of letters, printed matter of all kinds and the companionship of men and animals, how long do you think they would retain their reason, and what benefit to them from any standpoint do you think it would be? Your progress in life must be shared by others, and your downfalls similarly shared. 581. I have tried, in a very lame way, to show you that all must work together for real advancement. I was left an orphan in a small country place, and like many others, I drifted to the city, and the usual struggles of an unskilled workman. No tender missives came to cheer me in my toil, and after first one disappointment and another, I grew hard-hearted and tried to live for self alone. I was more than fortunate, as you would say, and as I thought then, in accumulating wealth, but I did not find the joy I had looked for in enjoying myself alone. I grew to envy the poorest laborer in my employ, in the happiness of his home life. 582. The earth life was the only life I cared to know anything about, and when I found out how poor I was in the spirit world, I did not lose much time, I assure you, in making friends. I had felt the need of true friends in my earth life, but I could not trust those that might have been my friends for fear they were only attracted by my wealth. But in the spirit world I was without wealth, and I began to make lasting friends. 583. My early struggles in spirit life are like the struggles of many others who have neglected their duty upon earth, but at last, I have risen to a higher sphere, and have come tonight to try to impress you with the value of interest in the lives of others. Help ye one another is the motto I would give unto you, and in the exercise of this motto you will find real enduring happiness. Contrast your sorrows with the greater sorrows of others and see how small they will seem. Let the spirit of helpfulness find an abiding place in your home, and the spirit of sorrow will lose its power. Signed, Inver 584. Lest someone should say that these writings are prepared beforehand and juggled onto the circle, the reader is hereby informed that these writings are frequently taken by the visitors from the spirit writer, retained by the visitor to close of seance, and read aloud to the circle as a closing exercise. Grandmother, Dixon, Margaret Jack Cunningham. 585. Mrs. Dixon, of Marshalltown, Iowa, having been visiting the seances several weeks, and having frequently expressed her deep felt appreciation of the work of this spirit band and especially of this spirit artist, she being herself an artist, on this evening, as she is about to depart for her home, the artist came forth, and in his own unique manner, made the original, of which this is a copy, and to her great delight she recognizes the picture of her grandmother. Then followed six excellent materializations, lady forms. One was an ancient, and one we recognize as Wesley, who made a little talk, saying, 586. I am glad to be present this evening. I see you are all on the journey, and in a few short years, some of you will be here. Mrs. House, yes, months. Spirit, no, my good lady, we are holding you for work a little longer. It is true you are getting old, and when age comes on, vital forces become weakened, so that it is more difficult for us to assist, but we try, with some degree of success, to prevent sickness, decay and death, but at last, a point is reached where we cannot help. So, when you reach here you will not be old, if you have done your full duty on earth, but it will make us all sad to see those who do wrong reach this side in darkness. 587. It is not easy to impress those who close their ears, but we try to give them something, and when we find them in trouble we try to give them comfort, and when they utterly refuse our aid and repel us we withdraw, and they must take the consequences. But, my friends, pride and superstition have prevented them from opening up unto us an opportunity to assist them, and therefore their spirituality is not awakened until they find themselves hurled against the rock of despair. 588. You children of earth need not be ignorant. The light is shining in every hamlet in the land. The voices are calling all to come out of the darkness, and their pleadings are within hearing of every child of earth. The glories of the eternal world stand personified in the path of everyone who is traveling down to the tomb. But if their Jesus and their God himself would stand before them, and by the fabled voice of their Gabriel should shout aloud to them, "Behold your Savior and your God," they would not believe unless there be a mine of gold in it. So we have to stand aside with bowed heads and let their sordid souls go by, while we stand hidden behind a veil of pitying charity. 589. I can remain no longer now. May you live your closing days in peace on earth, and awaken mid sweet anthems and the bright glories of your awaiting welcoming friends in the great spirit world. Good night. And this spirit, who has grown up almost to the eloquence of pain, faded away into invisibility. Seance number 35, October 26, 1902, 590. The permanent circle now consists of Dr. Sehers, Mrs. Lam, C. V. N. House, Mrs. B. House, Mrs. Cook, Ms. May Cook, Joseph Simpson, and Charles Reader. Mrs. Miller as visitor yet remains. 591. The question for discussion by the circle was, as to whether judicial punishment of a criminal is right or wrong? And the consensus of opinion of the circle was that such method of dealing with criminals is not correct, and the reader will observe that some of the spirits discussed the question to some extent. In opening the seance, Dr. Reed stated that they intend, when conditions will permit, to give some rare phenomena, but was not certain whether that would be reached in the present series of seances. Then Denton stepped out of cabinet and said, 592. Friends, your discussion was somewhat interesting, but I was sorry you failed to reach a conclusion. As to the medium's question, which is the better of the two books, R. V. or the present work so far? I would say that we have aimed to give such matter as would teach people how to live on earth for their best physical and spiritual needs, and we conclude nothing would be better than plain facts, and we have endeavored to give such facts of experiences as would meet all conditions, some for those in higher intellectuality, and some for those of lower intellectuality, some for those of higher spirituality and some for those of lower spirituality, and we think, we have done the proper thing all through. It would be needless for us to undertake to have spirits from higher spheres approach you and tell you of earth about their homes and conditions and work in the higher spheres, for none of earth could comprehend it, any more than your ABC pupil can comprehend higher mathematics. So we have given each of the books for its appropriate place and purpose, but perhaps the latter work is more comprehensible to the common mind. Cause and Management of Criminals. 593. Wesley, speaking of this subject, said, "I am exceedingly glad to meet you this evening. Whenever people understand whom they are putting in office they will choose such as will be better fitted to minister to the wants and actual needs of the people, and then conditions of the people will begin to be modified more along proper lines. With rare exceptions you place in office, both legislative and judicial, as well as executive, persons who are not philanthropists, who are on the plane of force, brute force, on the plane of selfishness, such are the men that make your laws and those who execute them. Every one of your penal officials placed in exactly the same conditions of the criminal at the time of his crime would do just exactly as the criminal did, so your penal codes and administration thereof are along the lines of revenge, of hatred, of malice, and necessarily not only do not reform the criminal, but make more criminals. Reverse all this. Have your penal statutes made and executed by men who are noble, philanthropic and of great benevolence, and reforms would soon ensue, reducing crime to a minimum, instead of, as now, almost, or quite to its maximum. Place a man, who is in low conditions, in bright conditions, you gradually call out his better nature, and finally, you have him a better man. 594. Look at this case. Let a young man who has had and used the opportunity of good conditions, and is, therefore, a noble young man. Let such a young man be thrown on his own resources. He starts out, he is honest. But, battling with the rude elements of the world, he soon finds himself a slave treated as a slave. Some other person or persons get the benefit of his labor, he gets but a small pittance of the actual value of his labor. He soon sees that his whole life labor must be principally appropriated to somebody else without an equivalent to him. In short, he finds himself a slave, but sees the fruits of his labor on all sides of him belonging to somebody else. He is slowly changed and hardened in his moral concepts and becomes a criminal. Under the present regime, he becomes, continually, more and more a hardened sinner. But, place in office men who will not use force, who will modify laws to be in harmony with the law of unfoldment and reform, and many thousands will be saved to a life of usefulness and happiness. Friends, it is hard to change environments, and when adverse conditions, under environments, are born with the person, these conditions cannot be easily overcome, and antenatal environments should more engage the attention of people of earth, and the judiciary of your world should know more about them, and until such is the case, one who is the slave of adverse environments will simply have to take his medicine, and that may by and by work out some needed reforms. The marriage relation in spirit life. 595. Wesley, immediately at close of his speech, made a manuscript in the words following, to wit, forgetting that the majority of the affections of earth life are only transitory, and in many instances, only appreciated as so much praise one from the other. People ask if the companions of their earth lives will be their companions in the spirit world? If a man and woman have that true affection for each other that goes beyond fading physical beauty and embraces the beauty of the soul, they will not only dwell in harmony upon the earth plane, but in the spirit spheres as well. It is harmony of soul, as well as harmony of purpose, that draws spirits together in the spirit world. 596. This harmony of soul exists between members of the same sex. And if a man and woman who are congenial to each other desire to work together, or with a band of spirits, they do so without a thought of the difference of sex. In fact, the distinction of sex belongs entirely to the earth plane in the lower spheres, and has no place in the higher spheres. Contrary to the established belief, the positive and negative forces are about equally distributed between the sexes, and therefore an equilibrium can easily be established. 597. Upon the earth plane you often see instances where one truly loves another, but is not loved in return. When these people enter spirit life, they will soon understand the reason for this, and will seek companions who are in harmony with themselves, whether male or female. 598. And again, there are instances where a harmonious couple have been parted by death, and if the one who has passed on to higher spheres first so desires it, they can establish a home in the spirit world where both may spend a part of their time going to their various duties, in the same manner as many set forth from an earth home, of a morning, and go to their different places of employment, returning with the evening shadows. However, the light does not fade in the spirit world, but they are irresistibly drawn together by that feeling of oneness that is one of nature's sweetest gifts to man. 599. The depraved desires of the human race must not be misconstrued for the pure refined love we have spoken of, as it bears about the same resemblance to it as the body of flesh does to the spirit. You no doubt have observed instances where parents and children and friends are truly devoted to each other, remaining so through the trials of earth life. They have that oneness of spirit that will draw them together in the spirit world. 600. Charity covereth a multitude of sins, and love, likewise, sees no blemishes. This is the spark of God within each soul that has by careful nurture reached a point above the desires of the flesh. Death releases the spirit from its burdensome clay, and if it has received the proper education while it was thus encumbered, it will ascend to higher spheres. If not, it will tarry around the earth plane perhaps for years. 601. Now is the all-important time to live right. Don't look away in the distance and cheat yourself with some glittering mirage, but use every minute of passing time preparing yourself to enjoy the blessings of the future. So many put off a good act until some future day, forgetting that the earlier it is set out upon its journey, the sooner it will return. Your kind words and helpful ways are needed so much upon the earth plane that I trust you will not withhold them. 602. How pleasant it will be for you to look back upon the good actions of your earth life, that make a silver track behind you, much as the wake a ship leaves behind upon a moonlit night, each wave dancing and scintillating in the silver beams. I have often thought that the only discord in nature was made by man. And the only reason for this is selfishness, the bane of humanity, for it is the basis of all things evil. If love instead of selfishness ruled the land, there would be no homeless, hungry earth wanderers. 603. Nature has been more than free in her gifts, yet a few have clutched that which was intended for all. My friends, don't place a dollar so close to your eyes that it will shut off all view of the other life. Use money for the good of humanity, and realize that within itself there is no value. Its value lies in the happiness it will bring to yourself and others. Signed, Wesley. 604. Wesley's writing was followed by the Spirit E. V. Wilson, who took a double slate that Mr. House had some time previously left in the seance room to await the convenience of some spirit friend to place a message thereon, and this spirit, standing to view of the circle, holding slate in left hand and resting folded on the spirit's left arm. The spirit moved right hand over top side of upper slate, the slates being folded together, and when his message was finished the spirit handed the slates to Mr. House, and the message was found to be written wholly on the inner surfaces of the double slates, and to be as follows, to wit, 605. Spiritualists are charged with having no word of God, no divine revelations, but they have a revelation of the divine mind, which is in every way above and superior to anything that a finite mind could suggest or conceive. The universe, the creation, which was created and warmed into life by an intelligence of all worlds and all systems, is, to the spiritualist, the real and infallible expression of the infinite mind, and from every rugged mountaintop, from the bosom of the great deep, from the tiny leaf of the fragrant wild flower, from the wings of the storm, from the silence of the forest and from the great deep-hearted humanity there gleams, in dazzling splendor, that which flows continually to light man on his way, onward and upward. Signed, E. V. Wilson. 606. Several brilliant forms came forth, one after another, among which was one representing a Roman gladiator, attired in tights of almost dazzlingly white material. After exhibiting the great prominence of his muscular system, this representative of a man of powerful physical build, this spirit advanced to a very prominent appearance between the circle and cabinet door and the dematerialized, beginning at the feet, which gave to the form the appearance of passing down through the floor into the reception room below, and the spirit thus resumed the condition of invisibility to mortal sight. Caroline. 607. A spirit form, having the appearance of a lady, very richly adorned in white garments, bedecked with glittering jewels, after some effort to do so, finally began talking, in good strong whisper, to be understood by those of the circle of good hearing. At least enough was heard by the circle to corroborate the secretary's report concerning what the spirit did say, to wit, 608. I am known by my co-workers as Carolyn.